You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
That's a whole nother sermon. Galatians 6, verse 7. I'm in that mood. Amen. I'm in one of those moods. And so, let me show you this thing here. I got a little thing here. Let me bend down it. You guys are... Oh, you did put it in there. Oh, okay. How many know what this is? How many know what this is? Come on, don't be stush today. This is a cabbage. And so... Cabbage? Yep. I hate this. I hate cabbage. Actually, you know what? Cold cabbage, like in a salad or in a kebab, you know, I don't eat those things that often. But I don't like this cooked, especially this is, I don't know, red cabbage. Yeah, it says red cabbage on it. And so I don't really eat this. I'm not into this. How many of you like this? You like cabbage, yeah? Okay, fan. You got some fans out there, man. You got a better response than me. And so, I'm not into cabbage at all. I don't like eating it, and so especially cooked, I'm not into it at all. Not feeling it. And so, but imagine if you saw that I had a garden, and in this garden I have to plant the food that I'm going to eat. And in that garden, what I did is I had some seeds. And so in this little packet here, we've got some seeds. Hold up, bear with me a second. Come on, don't let me down. The nervous silence. Here's a seed. Imagine if you knew that this was a cabbage seed and you saw me planting cabbage seeds in my field. But you know I don't like cabbage. I hate it. I don't want to eat it. I can't sell it. What I'm supposed to eat of what I've planted, what would you think? You'd be like, it's crazy. Why are you planting the very thing that you don't like? Why are you planting a seed knowing that once it grows, this is what you're going to get back? And then once I see it, it's grown now. I'm like, I hate this. There's loads of them. I'm surrounded by them because I planted them. How many know that would be crazy? You'd be like, you've lost it. There's something wrong. I want to say to you today is that that's where many people live their life. They are planting what they hate. They are planting the very thing that they don't want. And this is what people do, and this is what we're going to speak about. We're in a series called Straight Talk. We've been talking some tough subjects. We first spoke about what would it profit you to gain the whole world and lose your soul. Last week we looked at not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to make it to heaven. Not everybody that says they're a Christian, they're going to make it there. Just because you say it, what I want to preach today is what you sow is what you reap. What you sow is what you reap. And let's read it from Galatians 6 verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy. Father, I pray that you would move in this service today. I pray, Father, for supernatural anointing. I pray, Father, that you would help us to understand this principle. Let it change our behavior. Let us not come into church to hear words and not change. Father, most of all, we pray that Jesus would be magnified, and all God's people said, and all the real Christians said, and even if you know, your heart, and praise God. Sowing, reaping, should I say, where you sowed. Everything you and I do is going to come back. Going to come back to you. We're not talking about karma here. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a principle And he says there, do not be deceived. That means do not allow yourself to be, I spoke about deception on Wednesday, but do not be deceived. Don't think that somehow you're going to get away with this or this doesn't operate. This is truth here. He says, God is not mocked, meaning God, you can't get one round on God. You can't get one over on God. This is something which is in place. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. Many people today, many people's problems today are no more than the choices they made yesterday. What I mean by that is what they did is they made a choice, and so they sowed something into their life that they don't like. There's something they don't like. They did something, you know, they shouldn't have done. And later on, something grows from that decision. What you are living today, many times some of the problems that you're going through right now is because of something you did before. And I don't even mean like indirectly, like, oh, well, no. There are things that you can do that are going to cause problems. See, the positive side to this, or negative, however you see it, in the next 6 months, you're going to be living the quality of life based upon the decisions you're making now. The decisions you've made today, you're going to be living them in another 6 months or 6 years or whenever it is. And so we've got to understand this. Now, this is a New Testament scripture. This is new. This is after Christ. And the Bible says, whatever you sow, so if you do righteous things, you're going to receive a righteous harvest. If you do carnal, ungodly things, then you're going to receive an ungodly harvest. You're going to receive things that you don't want back in your life. If you want blessing, then sow the seeds of obedience. If you don't sow the seeds of obedience, then you're going to receive other things. Every decision you make, that's a big one, I don't know what the kind of seed that is, but every decision you make is like a seed that you're planting into your life. Every decision. Today you made a decision to come to church. By the looks of things, some people didn't make that decision. Every decision you've made, so you made a decision, I'm going to miss church. I made a decision, I'm going to come to church. You're planting something. That seed is going to reap something else. Because we're just going to talk about church quickly because it's a nice, easy, simple one to speak about. When you decide to come to church, you've planted a seed, and then you come into the house of God, and the Spirit of God can speak to you based upon an issue that you're going through right now. And so this is why it's very crazy when people are like, I'm going through something, so I'm not coming to church. Huh? Makes no sense. It's like, I'm hungry, so I'm stop eating. I'm so hungry, I can't eat. Huh? The other thing is, so you make a decision not to come to church, and you plant that. You know what happens? Next week, that seed starts to grow a bit, and it's easier not to come the next week. And then the next week, and the next week, and then before you know it, you're hanging with your old friends, and before you know it, you're doing things that you know you shouldn't do, and you once said you would never do. Because that seed, that decision, is a seed, the Bible says. What you sow, you're going to reap. That decision, every decision, we're making decisions all the time. So really, life is all about sowing things. And you need to see life as a garden. So you think about, what are you sowing today? What are you sowing in your finances today? Are some of you in financial problems because of decisions you made 6 months ago, a year ago? Are you in financial debt because a year ago you wanted to buy something and so you took out a crazy loan and now they're charging you? Recently someone spoke to me about a loan and it was, the interest on it was ridiculous, and we worked it out. The person told me, oh look, I'm thinking about getting this loan, and I looked at it and we worked it out that say if you was to borrow £7,000, at the end of the loan you've paid back £17,000. How many know that's ridiculous? That's not a loan, that's a loan shark. And so, when I read the contract, there were so many other things that they could put on there if you just miss one payment. And so here you are, you take a loan, you put that in there, and now for the next 10 years, Your finances are jacked up. You're in this debt. You're messed up because you made a decision in your finances. And it can go on and on and on. What about your marriage? Who you marry? That's a decision. That's a big one. That's going to affect the rest of your life. You'll be like, well, I could just leave them. Well, then that affects you and God, because God hates divorce. What you do in your marriage, how you speak to your, everything you're saying in your marriage is a seed. What are you sowing into your marriage? What are you sowing into your husband? How you talking to your husband? What are you sowing into your wife? The Bible says what you sow, you're going to reap back. It's going to come back to you. What about your kids? You know, we're in a season now of the baby season. A lot of people are having babies just this week. Obviously, Anthony and Nadine. And so we thank God for that. And so a lot of people now, that you've got children. Listen, children are like a garden. You're sowing into that. That's what you're doing. You're sowing into those children. There's a very interesting book. One of my favorite authors is C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is like a modern theologian. When I say modern, I mean, you know, he's been in the last 100 years. And so I read it. There's a book about that he wrote called The Four Loves, I believe it is. And one of them, he pronounces it as storge or something like that. And so we understand there's different words for love. There's philia, which is like friendship love, eros, erotica, there's like a sexual husband and wife love. Then there's agape, it's like a self-sacrificing love. But storge is like a family type of love. And he speaks about this in a very, very interesting what he says. And I may preach a sermon on the whole thing because it was so deep. And he says, people naturally think that because this family love is kind of natural, we think we will receive it naturally. So what I mean by this is that, say there is a parent. The parent naturally thinks that the child will return the love. The child will love the parent because this is natural. It's natural that your children love you and you love your children. But what he says is, if the parent hasn't put this storge into the child, when the child grows, the child doesn't feel it for the parent. And so now the parent kind of manipulates the child, being like, yeah, but I'm your mother or I'm your father. And so now, even though the child feels, I should feel something for you, but you did not put it into me. So now I struggle to give it to you. And as I'm trying to work to give it to you, it makes it worse when you say, well, you have to give it to me. So now there's this conflict that you're saying I should have it naturally, but you never put it into me. See, you're sowing. What you reap, what you sow is what you're going to reap back. This is a principle of life. How some of you, how you treat your parents is going to play out in your marriage. Always, well, listen, when you want to marry someone, look at how they treat their family. Look at how she treats her mom. Look at the relationship with her and her mom. Because if that's jacked up, you better make sure that it's not her that's jacking it up. Some people have jacked up because the parents are jacked up. That's just the reality. They don't make them bad. But look at that relationship, because if she's dissing her mother, she's going to diss you soon. Yeah. Oh, no, she never dissed me. Yeah, let's see. Let's see what happens. Let's see how he's treating his mum. Because, sister, that's how he's going to treat you. That's how he's going to treat you in the long run. What you sow is what you reap. You know, there are people that always want to kind of get a bargain in life. They always want to. You know, there are people, they just want to swindle people. They're always trying to, you know, get one over on you. And sometimes you know that if we was going to sort this out, it's going to get ugly. You ever been in that type of situation? I've been in those situations where someone is you know, we made an arrangement and come on, you're trying to rob me now. Where's my money? You said that this is how it's going to be. And people think, I got away with it. You know, sometimes in church, it's terrible. Listen, let me warn people here. Don't swindle people in the house of God. Don't swindle people in the house of God. You know, someone lets you live in their house, or someone lends you something, or you said you was going to buy. Don't swindle people. Take it and then don't pay them. But they're Christians. So what you sow is what you reap. And I've been here long enough to see people that do that.
Hey, later on they're coming, Pastor, pray for me, my finances. I don't say nothing, but I know what you did to them. I know what you did to them. What you sow is what you're going to reap. It's a word from God in your friendships. But I ain't got no friends here. Show yourself friendly. People that, they don't show themselves friendly, and they wonder why they don't have friends. Look at your words. You're very harsh with your words. Very critical. Very, you know, you push people away. You repel people. What you sow is what you reap. Your ministry. Well, my ministry did it. But you're not putting the time in. You don't minister. You don't put in the time into your ministry. You don't prepare. You're not thinking about it. You don't meditate on it. You don't pray on it. You're not putting anything in, so you're not getting anything out. You got to remember here is that you always reap more than you sow. And so every decision in life is a seed. Do we have the slide with the two seeds? I don't know if we've got that. And so this is how you must see every decision in life, as two seeds. One is good, one is bad. And so this is how you've got to look at it. Every decision that you're making is like this. It's either a good one or a bad one. But every decision is going to bring forth something. Every single decision you do is going to bring something. And you're gonna end up either with something you hate or something you love based upon decisions that you're making right now. And the other principle is you always get back more. What was the other slide? We had another slide here. You always get back more than what you sowed. You sow a seed, you get a tree. You don't get a seed back. How many know that's the, you sow a seed, you just get another seed back. So you do a little bad decision, you get a little bad thing. Okay, I can handle that. Flick it away. That's not what you get. You get a tree back. You put something into your life, and you're like, ah, well, you know, whatever. You start to say things in your marriage. You start to do things in your finance. You bring carnality into your home. This thing starts to grow, and what you get is bigger than what you put in. God is trying to warn us today. He's saying, listen, be very careful. Hosea 8 verse 7 says, they sow to the wind and they reap the whirlwind. They sow to the wind. That means they did an action and it was just like the wind. But when it came back, by the time it came back onto them, it was a whirlwind. It destroyed them. That people are destroyed because of things they've done in the past. That people can make a decision. There are people in hospital right now, and I do not get any pleasure in saying this, suffering from a disease, sexual transmitted disease, because of one night. One night, one decision. I don't know when it started. It started Saturday night. Okay, I'm gonna go out Saturday afternoon. You're getting ready. You're doing everything. You go out that night. You see that guy. He looks nice. You look nice. The music is playing. You're feeling good. You've had some drink. You got some alcohol in your body. He asks you to come back home. You tell your friends, I'm going to go home with him. You go back home with him. It seems so nice. You do your thing. And yeah, you enjoyed it. Fast forward, you're in hospital. Wishing to God that you did not make that decision. Remember, what we're saying is, it's just a decision. The decisions you make have consequences. And you are a sum total of your decisions. There's four ways of sowing in life. First way is sowing bad seed in good times. This is when you do bad in good times. And what do I mean by that? Is that everything is going well, but you just make a bad decision. And we see this with King David. King David is the king. He's doing everything. Everything is going well in the kingdom. He's not in a battle and all of those things. And the Bible says he goes and he looks at this woman and he lusts after her. And he calls her to him and she's married to another man. So he commits adultery with her. Then to cover it up, because he learns that she's pregnant. He gets the guy killed, and then he marries her. And so why did he do that? You know, he's made a bad decision. And so the moment he slept with her, he sowed a seed. And the Bible says, and then she got pregnant. He's like, oh my days. He starts to see this thing growing. Rather than repent, he tries to cover it up again. He does another bad decision. So then he kills her husband. How many know it's bad? And so the Bible says that God says, this thing is going to affect you and your family. And what happens later on is that his son sleeps with his daughter, his sister. So King David's son sleeps with King David's daughter. And God says, you know why that happened in your family? Because of what you did. You know, there's things that we struggle with because of things that were done by our family. Because what you sow is what you reap. What you sow is what you reap. Oh, it's just one night of fun, man. Just hanging with the boys. Just going to experiment. Do a little this, do a little that. You know what? If it was just that, go ahead. But it's not just that. You've sowed something. Bad seed in a good season. Basically, it's lust and pride makes us do that. The next one is sowing bad seed in a bad time. That means when you're going through tough situations, rather than trusting God, you start to use your trial as an excuse to do bad. I see this all the time. Oh, I've got to do this. Man's got to make money. Because I come from an economic challenge background, so yeah, that gives me the right to go and rob people. Or to go do bad things. Because you're in a bad season, you're sowing more bad seed. What do we see? We see this with King Saul. King Saul is in a battle. He doesn't know what to do. He disobeys what God tells him. And God says, you know what? The kingdom is going to be ripped from you, Saul. This is the thing where I said, where people go through a battle, people are going through a struggle, and they start to drop off church. They start to say, oh, I'm not coming to church. They start to drop off from, seclude themselves from the church family. We can't get hold of you anymore. Because you're going for a battle in a bad, you're sowing bad seed in a bad situation. It's tough right now, you're going to make a bad decision that later on is going to be bad anyway. This is why the Bible says that, we see with Jacob and Esau, their two brothers. Esau is hungry, and so he sells his birthright. He's hungry. He's going for a tough situation. He's hungry. Listen, how many of we will get hungry? Not just for food. You can get hungry in the house of God. When you haven't had a job for a while, you're hungry for some money. When you've been single for a little bit, you could get hungry for relationships. There's ladies here, you'd be like, listen, there's not. They've done the maths, the ratio. They're looking around. Hold on. Huh? Yeah, I'm hungry, man. And so at a hungry moment, like I said, you make a decision. You make a bad decision in a bad situation. The next one is a good seed in good time. How many know this is the mission? We should, in good times, we should remember God. Listen, when you're being blessed, you come to church, you pray prayers, keep doing good. Don't forget God. There's some people, you know, you get saved, God blesses you with a job, God blesses you with this, blesses you with a house, blesses you. God is just blessing you and you forget God. Sow good seed in good time, because that seed is just going to grow, and what you're going to have is a snowball of blessing. That's what I want, a snowball of blessing, an avalanche of God's blessing. We said bad seed in good time, bad seed in bad time, good seed in good time. The last one, good seed in bad times. When you've made decisions that were bad, and over a period of time, those decisions grow up, and now you're in a situation. If you've made bad financial decisions in the past, now you're in a financial mess. If you've made relationship decisions which were bad, that was just a bad decision, man. Now you're in a mess.
Maybe you've done things and now your life feels like it's in a mess. You're in a bad situation. What you need to do is sow good seed. What that means is repent. Learn. I made a mistake. Now I'm suffering from that mistake. But don't continue in the mistake. Start doing the right thing. Come back to church. Come back to God. Come back to the Bible. Do right. Come to the altar and pray. Give your life to Jesus. What this is repenting. This tests your faith. When things are not always going the way you want them to go, can you sow good seed? The Bible says in Psalms 126, verse 5, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Why are they sowing in tears? Because they're in a tough situation right now. But the Bible says they're still doing the right thing. Can you still do the right thing when things are not going right? Are you still making good decisions? Because can I tell you, just imagine this phase of life is the tough phase. Just this pulpit. So this is you before, things are going okay, and so you just want to, you do a madness, and then you hit this season of your life. Maybe it's not even of your own causing. It's just a season you're going through. The Bible says just keep going through it. Do right. Do right. Because as you sow good seed now, as you do right, you keep coming to church, you keep serving God, you keep living clean, you keep doing everything you're supposed to do. When you come out of this, there's going to be a harvest that you made then. You're going to reap what you sowed then. And the Bible says, though you were sowing in tears, oh God, where are you? This is tough. You're coming to church, you're going through things. You did not miss a beat. The Bible says you will reap in joy. You're going to reap in joy. Problem is, what people do in these tough times, like I said in the beginning, you do a bad thing in a bad season, and basically you just move this here, and it just gets tougher, and then you do worse, and you move that there, and now you just keep going through, reaping a bad harvest, doing bad things, bad harvest, doing bad things. Break the cycle today. Break the cycle. Knowing this, what you sow is what you reap. The reality is, it's hard living with a bad harvest. And I think if we're all honest today, how many know we've reaped where we've sowed? How many have ever kicked themselves saying, you know what, this is tough? How many have ever looked back on a decision and, oh, I wish I never did that. I wish I didn't go here. I wish I wasn't there. I'm in a bad harvest from my own bad decisions. You know, God warns us. God warns us. There are scriptures in the Bible. You know, Jesus says, he that lives by the sword will die by the sword. Jesus says these things. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. If your life is surrounded by violence, then violence will affect you. When people get touched by violence and their life was violent, everyone's crying. Oh, it's so sad. Really, it's to be expected. Pastor, you can't say that. No, I can. Because I'm not the fake priest that has to stand up in front of someone's funeral, say they're in heaven when we know they're in hell. If you want a fake priest, this is not the church to come to. Go down the road, I don't know where, find one, and he'll say anything to you. And when you're in hell frying, he's saying you're in heaven. But will it make you any more comfortable? When you're tormented and weeping and gnashing of teeth, this series is called Straight Talk. We're talking to you straight. We're giving it to you honest. This is tough. What you sow is what you're going to reap. Yeah, but Jesus is here now. No, this was said after Jesus. This is not Old Testament. This is not the Torah. This is Galatians. This is, they're speaking to a New Testament church just like us. It says, do not be deceived. There are people that have been deceived. You keep reaping bad, blaming everybody else. Blaming everybody else. And the Bible says, no, you're reaping what you sowed. Do not be deceived. You can walk out here deceived. Nah, he don't rubbish. You're deceived. You've deceived yourself. The Bible says God is not mocked. God is not tricked.
You can't fool him. He sees everything. He sees what you do in public, what you do in private. He not only just sees what you do, he sees what you think. He sees why you even did it. God says he's looking. That means you could do what you could be doing something and you look so good to us, but in your heart it's for a bad reason. God says you're going to reap bad. You could be doing something and it's the best you can do, and we could look at it and be like, what are they doing? Who are they? They just come to church. But it's the best you can do. It was a struggle for you. God says, I'm going to bless you. They may not think it's much, but I know it's a lot for you just to come to church today. God says, I'm going to bless you because what you sow is what you reap. And when you're reaping a bad harvest, it's hard. When there's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's a guy in the Bible, his name is Samson. God called Samson. Samson is a guy, he's batting up the whole place. He's a big guy, he's dealing with everything, supernatural strength. But Samson has a weakness, the ladies. Samson can fight anybody, he can deal with anybody. Nobody can touch Samson, but his weakness is the ladies. Sometimes very strong men, they have weaknesses. The ladies. Money, I don't know. So Samson, he's supposed to keep himself clean and all of that, and he keeps disobeying God, he sows bad seed, and eventually, you know how Samson ends up, where we see him in the Bible? His eyes are plucked out. Imagine having your eyes plucked out. Like, just the pain of it. I don't know how they did it. His eyes are gouged out. He has no eyes. They put him in a prison, Philistine prison. And what they do is this. When they're having a party and they want to just, you know, crack joke, they call him out. Bring out. Because he was destroying them. He was there. When he was about in his prime, they were fearful of him. Oh my days, it's Samson. Now, because Samson sowed bad seed, God's warned him. You've reaped a bad harvest. God allowed them to get hold of him and do all of this to him. Now he's a mockery. They pull him out by chains. Samson's got no eyes. And hey, look, this is the guy we used to run from. Idiot. Look at this guy. He's the guy that used to preach on outreach. Ha ha. Devil's like, yeah, he used to follow up on people. He brought loads of people to church. Yeah, she was a woman of God. Yeah, she did this and did that. Pulls you out, now you got no eyes. No light at the end of the tunnel, reaping, hopeless. But the Bible says that his hair began to grow. And if you know anything about Samson, where was his strength? It's his hair. Why would the Bible tell us that? Obviously his hair would start to grow. The Bible is saying that even in a bad season, and a bad harvest, God says there's still a hope for you. There's still hope for you. In the book of Joshua, the Bible tells about a story about the children of Israel. They make a covenant with these people called the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites are the neighbors. So this is a crazy story. So the Israelites, this big massive people, and they're going around the Middle East, dominating everybody. Every person they come up against, people have heard about them. Those guys that came out of Egypt, they dealt with Egypt, Pharaoh. They dealt with this place. They dealt with that place. And so the Gibeonites know, listen, they're coming for us next. So they say, let's dress up. So they dressed up like they were from far, far away. They brought some moldy bread, and they went to them, and they said, hey, hi, we're from way, way, far, far, far away. Hey, start a covenant with us. Be peaceful to us, we'll be peaceful to you. We'll help you, you help us. And so the Israelites, they never sought God. If they would have said, God, should we do this? God would have said, listen, them guys are from next door. They're in the land you're supposed to take. But they did not seek God. They did their own thing. So they looked at the bread. Yeah, this looks right. And this is a sermon by itself. Sometimes you're just looking. This looks good. He looks nice. You better pray.
That's a freebie. And so they didn't pray, and they make a covenant. Okay, we're protected. And then they find out, after they've made the covenant, you know who you made the covenant with? The people next door to you. They're like, oh, my days, we can't deal with them now. It's a covenant. God saw it. If we break the covenant, God will be vexed with us. If we violate the covenant, we'll reap a curse. So we're stuck. Then it gets even worse. Now you're stuck with these people. Then the Gibeonites go into war with somebody. And the Gibeonites say, remember, you said you would defend us. Now they've got to go and fight for these people that they should have. Oh, it's just messed up. Before they could have wiped them out, we're taking their land anyway. So now they have to march all night. How many know that's tough? When you've made stupid decisions and now you've got to make it harder for yourself. But the Bible says this, in the midst of the battle, we would have been like, God would have said, sort yourself. You got yourself into it, get yourself out of it. But Joshua prays and Joshua says, God, let the sun stand still. And the Bible says God intervenes in a supernatural way. Now, if you've read that and you've just read over that, then you ain't read it. Or maybe you need to go back to school. Seriously. Because the sun can't just stand still. Because the sun is the center of our solar system. The sun doesn't just stand. We don't go around the sun. The sun don't go around us. We go around the sun. For the sun to stand still, that means the whole solar system had to shift on its axis. Because you can't just freeze it. We'd all fly off. God had to do something supernatural. God had to stop heaven and earth to bring them out of this problem that they made. When you make a problem, if you will bring God into it, he will move heaven and earth to get you through it. See, are you willing to get God into your bad harvest? We've all sinned, the Bible says. Every single one of us has a bad harvest coming. Every single one of us. The Bible says it what's my harvest going to be? Am I going to be in hospital with a disease? My kid's going to hate me? I don't know what yours is going to be. But I know what we're all going to have to face. Hell. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Separated from God. If you're here and you're perfect, you've never sinned, then don't worry about what I'm saying. Get up, walk out, enjoy the sun. But we know that we've all sinned. You sowed a seed. Hell is coming for you. Do you know the Bible says that hell opens its mouth is waiting for you. The Bible says that just like the heart of man is never full. How many know the heart of man is never full? I guarantee, if we said, okay, tell us the five things that you want right now. Pick five things. I want a yacht. I want a mansion. I want this. I want that guy. Okay, we gave them to you. Do you know you still want? Give it a time. We could say, give you five more things. You wouldn't be like, oh, I just don't know anymore. You would still have five more things. The heart of man is never full. The Bible says just like the heart of man is never full, hell is never full. There is not one person that will come to hell and he'll be like, oh, no, sorry, we're just too full. Let me call up to heaven. Hey, God, we got one down here. No, hell be like, hey, yeah, you're for here? No problem. Push them in more. Hey, come on. Hell is never full. Never. You know what the Bible says? That is a harvest. That should scare you, man. You need to say, God, that's not what I want. I don't want that. Imagine if I was to backslide, leave church, go get drunk, steal a car. You see me driving up and down Plough Road, Falcon Road. I'm driving, and I crash, have an accident. And I lose my arm. How many know what I sowed, I reaped? Just keep it real. If you don't know that, you say, oh, it's just unlucky. No, that's not just unlucky. What you sowed, you reaped. I'm in hospital and I realize I've made a mistake. I shouldn't have done that.
The next Sunday, I come into church, and I come down to the altar, and I pray, and I say, God, you know what? Forgive me. How many of God will forgive me? How many know God will forgive me? Would you expect my arm to grow back? No. Because what you sow is what you reap. Now, where is the grace then? This is where the grace is. Is that even with one arm, God could move in your life, that you could do more as a one-arm man than you could as a two-arm man. See, you may have to suffer a bit, but God will bring you through. The problem is people don't want to deal with that. They've made bad decisions. Then when it comes back on them, they say, where is God? Well, that's why you'll never do more as a one-arm man. See, this is the miracle of grace, that God can take your bad decisions and turn them around. What does the Bible say? Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for the good for those that love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Can God take a bad harvest? I've done wrong, now I'm reaping a bad harvest. Can God take a bad harvest and turn it around for good? Yes. Where do we see it in the Bible? We see it with Joseph. Genesis 50, verse 19. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, you should be able to easily understand that text, but let's think about this now. Joseph has his brothers, and Joseph is envied by his brothers, and what does his brothers do? They were going to kill him, and they said, no, don't kill him, throw him in a pit. So they threw him, his brothers threw him into a pit. I mean, that's a bad decision. It's a wicked thing. Then they sold him. That's what they did. They sold Joseph. That was a bad thing. How many know we would expect, you know what, you're going to suffer for that, guys. You've done a bad thing. You've done wrong. And just like us, we've done wrong. But the Bible says, fast forward and you go down the line. And later on, Joseph is the prime minister of Egypt now. And Joseph is the very one that saves them. Think about this. It's almost like, how did that happen? We did something bad, but God turned around what we did for bad, that it actually was the thing that saved us. That God can take a bad decision, the bad things you've done, the bad things you said, things you're ashamed of, all of these things, and you're thinking, my days, what harvest is coming down the road for me? In my marriage, in my finances, in my mind, how is God going to deal with me? The Bible says, if you will give your life to Jesus, God will turn those things around, that the very thing you're ashamed of that you did, God can turn it for your own good, that it actually blesses you. This is why the Bible says, all things. He didn't say all the good things. He says all things work together for the good. See, this is what the cross means. When we talk about the cross, we speak about Jesus dying on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, we reap where he sowed. Jesus, his whole life, lived perfect. Imagine looking over the fence, someone's garden, and all you've got on yours is cabbage, things that you hate. On your side, it's just everything you hate. I hate cauliflower, I hate that thing. What are those little round cabbages, the little Brussels sprouts, what are they called? I hate those things. Imagine it's just that. Maybe you love those things, maybe you hate tomatoes, and you need to pray, man. Tomatoes are godly, but you know, whatever, you're looking at your garden and everything is your in your garden is what you hate. And you look over your neighbor's garden and it's everything you love. Oh my days. Oh, why didn't I plant those things? Why did I do this with my life? And as you look over, Your neighbor says, would you like to swap?
Huh?
Yeah. So what the neighbor is saying, you can sow what I reaped, and I'll reap what you sowed. That's what Jesus did. When Jesus died on the cross, the pain and the shame and the death, he's taken what me and you did. Our sin, he reaps the reward of our sin. He is the payment. And so now, when you accept Christ, you receive all the blessing of the life lived that pleases God. Where he sowed, we reap. Where we sowed, he reaps. But it's only in Christ. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.